Good morning. Such a great joy and honor to be here with you to share what God is doing in the nation of India. I really wanted to thank our dear Pastor Matt Haverly and his beloved family, and also the Edgewater Christian Fellowship and the entire church body here for having me here to come and share. And I really thank our brother Josh and his family for accommodating me in their homes. And really wanted to thank each one of you for being a great blessing to the nation of India. God is moving in a very powerful way in the nation of India now than ever before. It's been amazing things are happening, especially this year. You know, I've been traveling with my dad since I was 3 years old for about 41 years. So that tells you how old I am. But the things we are beginning to see now is so amazing and awesome, especially the open door the Lord has given us among the colleges and universities. And it's been phenomenal. One of the areas where we were able to go there and share the gospel, and this university had 400 acre land with, you know, they've been going on for about 40 years with 15,000 students inside. And it's amazing how God really have, taken us to that place. But I'll be explaining more of those things. So God is doing some amazing things. And I pray the Lord will continuously enable the church to be a great part in this cutting edge of winning the souls for the Lord in the front line. Amen. With the population of India is still growing. They're trying to beat China and be the first in population. Oh yeah. We only have 1.3 billion people. That's all. You know, it started with just 300 million when we got freedom from British in 1947. Just in the last 70 years, just 1 billion people came along. And now we got 1.3 billion. But we are just going to see some of the, a few pictures that I just narrated through that, before we go into the word. So let's watch some of the pictures. So here is my beautiful wife and my family, Joseph, Samuel, and little Johnny. My wife, Shalini, keep them in your prayers. Last year, we started a new school called Christ the King International School. You know, we have a Tamil school that has been going on for 11 years, but we felt the very big need for the middle and upper class people to have a quality education with Christ-centered. That's why the name of the school itself is Christ the King. Amen? And we have the naval officer children there, and like the FBI, department in India, we have CBI. Their children are there. Hindu head priest, their grandchildren are there. And in, military and police and many different departments. But it's been unique to see our opening song for every day morning is "How Great Is Our God." Sing with me, "How Great Is Our God." That's our assembly song. And they're singing and knowing about the living God. And I know that these children are going to be a great leaders in the years to come. Because their fathers, their families are already in the leadership. You know, the naval officer's son is not going to be doing a masonry work in the field. He's going to be doing something bigger than his daddy. So God has given us a very big opportunity to the society there, and we need your prayer. And for the children, little Johnny, he's quite a character. And he is only 5 years old. He's learning his fifth language. You know, the fifth is the French. So he knows Tamil, Malayalam, English, and Hindi. And now he's working on his fifth, and he's five. You know, so he wants to be a pediatrician when he grows up. So we'll see. But there's a need to have a blessed family there. The next picture you can see, the crowds of people. You know, as you see in Oregon, trees everywhere. We have people everywhere. Amen. And when people here in this nation whining about not enough room for everybody, I'm like, come on. Give me a break. Visit India. Welcome to India. You will not complain anymore. But here we are. God has sent us to this island called Rameshwaram, second most holy place for the Hindu faith. It's like going to Mecca. and starting the work, right? One block away from the main place, you know? It's like that for the Hinduism. And we've been there for 38 years. And even now, this is just pictures, just last a couple of months ago, in the festival, there were over 100,000 people in just one festival that they showed up there. You know, they're praying for the, you know, they wash their sins in the Indian Ocean. And also the main reason they can get visa for heaven. You think, what? What? Visa. Yeah. The dead people, you know, when people die and pass away, the family members, this is the place where they come to pay up to $500 per visa for, you know, to the priest. They'll do all the rituals to get the spirit to heaven. And they're making a lot of money out of it, but they say they give the visas, you know. So this is, but in the midst of these people, we are sharing the gospel in a very powerful way. The next picture you can see, Ganges River. Second, you know, the river, the, actually Rameshwaram is the second most, and Ganges River area is the first and foremost place where the river comes from the Himalayas and runs down through there. A lot of people are cremating their, you know, cremating their dead bodies, throwing about halfway through into the water and is floating everywhere. And right there, these people are washing their sins and trying to get cleansed and be saved. And that's happening there as well. Last month, there was a festival. You can see the next picture. Nothing but people. Whoa. There is no space in between people. Just people everywhere. And these are people, they are taking this idol to the ocean to dissolve it. And it's kind of part of their rituals. But it's just a, you know, area with the full of people. So God has really given us a heart of compassion to reach out to the people. Jesus, he came all the way to this earth for us, for people. He didn't come for anything else but for us. Amen? Amen. He is the way and truth and life. And that's the message need to be spoken to these people. The next picture, you can see that we are also able to supply a lot of aid for the needy people. These are untouchables and the low caste. They are out there on the side of the road. And we were able to go and supply the blankets and so forth. And the next picture, you can see just the little tents that they have there. They've been put upon little sticks. And that's their dining, kitchen, living, bedroom, the whole nine yards, all under one roof, you know, just in one spot. And when they receive these gifts, they really get so happy about it. It's just really a blessing to see the smile. The next picture you can see, we are also serving the children on the street. You know, with the population like this, there's more than 400 million children are in India. You know, it's more children than the entire U.S. And out of that, several million children, they walk around everywhere in the street, you know, looking for food. So we have a ministry going after these children and helping them and giving them some meals. And there you can see the smile in the face of this little beautiful child, you know, receiving that food. The next picture you can see, you know, I was in the northern part. And Sister Shanti, she is working among these children greatly. And one day she was just in the evening, she picked up her bag and she just went out to get some groceries. Like we go to Walmart. You have Walmart here. And just to get some groceries. And as she was going out near the dump area where the normally the kids, they go out looking for the food. You know, so she was just looking at the dump area and there was some human feet in the dump is sticking out. Then she paused and she looked again and the feet start moving. It was those two children. They're sitting in my lap right there. They were under the dump with the trash and everything all over. And those children are suffocating from not able to breathe. And thank God that this, you know, sister, she was able to just to see that children. Just write that on time. If she would have missed it within minutes, you know, it would have been piled up with so many things and those two children will be dead underneath. But right then she put her bags, pulled all the stuff out of the children, took those two children and embraced them and brought those children to her home. And now they are living with her. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, let the children come unto me. Forbid them not, such as the kingdom. Amen. What we are doing to these underprivileged children, you know, only heaven will rejoice and reward us greatly in the years to come. Amen. And here we are able to just really give hope to these children. The next picture you can see, children out in the street, you know, just 2.5, 3 years old, walking around looking for food, no father, no mother, you know, just wandering everywhere. And we are able to really reach out to these children. What a blessing. The following picture you can see, Sister Shanti just giving a little, you know, meals for that little child that was standing out there. And the following picture also you can see, Pastor Ravi. He is one of our fine missionary. He is working greatly in many parts of the, you know, the state, preaching the gospel. But he has been facing a lot of challenges in his life. I remember one time he was sharing that he went to this village to share about the Lord. And there is this big witch doctor. He is very famous. He has done so many sacrifices. He has chopped the heads of the goats and in hundreds and killed 1,000+ chicken and offered the blood. He is a big shot. Nobody messes with him. He makes people to go crippled if people, you know, does anything to him through the evil spirit. So when he was out in that village to share the gospel, you know, they literally gathered around the pastor and the very man challenged, you know, pastor that saying, don't you ever come back to this village. Don't you realize who I am and what I'm doing? And if you ever do so, you will never walk again from this village back to your house. Pretty challenging. Amen? With all the darts and all that stuff and all the gear and everything. But he told him in return that God is giving you a chance to get saved. And if you wanted to give your life to the Lord, he will save you. Otherwise, you're not going to be around when I come back again. That's what he said. Then he left. Amen? And days went by. 2 weeks later, he just praying this whole time. See, these guys, they pray 3 times, you know, 3 days in a fasting sometime. Sometimes they pray 21 days without eating, fasting and praying. I mean, God hears them when they are like that. And we can see that, you know, 2 weeks later, he got a call from that village. Some of the people were calling him and said, you know, please come to the village, you know, to share about the Lord. And he's like, it's the same village where I have been. And where is that guy? And he said, well, a couple days ago, he passed away. He is no more. Wow. Really happened. I mean, we are not very excited about him, his death. But at the same time, if he is not going to be helpful to advance the kingdom, then God's just kind of moving him out of the way. Amen? Amen. Because the ground is open. Hallelujah. And now pastor has more than 40 people coming from that area worshiping the living God in an amazing way. So here is a similar testimony. This guy right here, he was a Hindu priest for 40 years in a temple. And he has this big wound in his leg. So he went to the hospital, shown that to the doctor. And the doctor looked at it and he said, this is really bad. We really have to amputate your feet. And if you don't do so, you lose your life. So this man, you can see the next picture. Actually, it was a few days after he came to the, you know, to the church that I was actually there. And he just screamed and he said, wait a minute, they're going to chop my leg? Then he said, I've been serving these idols for 40 years. And is this my retirement plan from my God for serving? Not a nice package. Losing your leg for standing and doing incense all your life. And one of the person in the room lifted up the voice and said, you can actually go to Pastor Ravi and we will take you there. And if he prays, you can keep your leg. He said, what? I can keep my leg? It's a good news. Amen. So they bought a little cart. They rolled him over and four people carried him on their shoulders from the hospital all the way to the church. He was laying there in the bed the whole time. Amen. 8 days he was there at the church. He was praying over, you know, the pastor was praying, ministering over him. God healed him and he got baptized. And now he walked back to his village telling people, please listen to me. I'm at the age of 70. I've been doomed by all of these beliefs in my life, even being a priest. But Jesus healed me and saved me. He is a living God. Hallelujah! Amen! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Lord! When a man with 70 years old followed other things all his life and led many and didn't get anywhere, yet Jesus saved him at this last minute, when he opens his mouth and starts talking, people listen. Amen? Now he is an evangelist in that area, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The next picture you can see, you know, right there in India, you know, we have seen it in the Bible about leprosy. You know, it's a bad thing. And in India, there are several areas that people do have them. But actually, I was traveling through this area in a highway, just driving, and I got blankets in the vehicle to supply to this one area. And all of a sudden, in this highway, I saw this village, you know, like a colony that was in the very primitive outskirt of the town. And I looked at it, and I kept on going. And the Holy Spirit is like, turn around and go to that place. And I was like, Lord, it's getting kind of late. And I already given the time to those people over there. And I got this blanket that I need to supply. And son is not going to wait for me here. So I got to really do. He said, yeah, I hear you, but go down here. Amen. I had to literally obey the Holy Spirit and turn around and go to this area. And I couldn't believe my eyes. More than 100 people with no fingers at all. Just they have is their palm. Amen? Just imagine. We can't even do our normal things, putting the buttons or eating or, you know, doing things one day without the fingers. And here they are, just living and existing. So I was able to just go there and, you know, that's the differences you can see there. And we were able to share the love of Christ. And I unloaded all the blanket and we start giving, you know, to the people right there. And her husband passed away that morning, you know, with the leprosy that he had all his life. And so she kind of collapsed on me. And boy, it takes really love of Christ to be around these people. The smell, the stuff that was kind of on the dresses. For 8 hours, I was driving after that, you know, past midnight to my home, to get to my home. The smell won't go off. And finally, I had to get there and get the shirts and put it in the washing machine and get a shower, then go to the bedroom. And but it's really very challenging. But God has really given us a love of God to love these people. Amen? We are His extension. And right there, you know, caring for them. He's just thanking for being a great blessing, you know, in helping with them. But the neat thing is, we have been doing a well project lately. I'll be talking about that. And they have requested, all they need is just water. You know, it's kind of amazing. Here you lift up the faucet and boom, right there. Hot, cold, which one you want? Maybe medium, and you just choose your thing according to your convenience. But here, that the people are carrying the bucket in their hand, you know, a mile long every day to bring a bucket of water with no finger carrying it here. So I asked, you know, why don't the government do something? Well, they did one time and they tried 300 feet, nothing but dust, they left. I said, well, even if we have to go down to 1,000 feet, we are going to give you a water in Jesus' name. Amen? That's the spirit. So we start drilling 600-700 feet, no water. Then we went down 800 feet with the prayer, the water gushed out. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now this entire village with the more than 100 people, you know, with the children and all, they never have to walk for a mile to get this water with their half feet limping and with their, you know, folded hands. It's right there. They just turn the motor on. We put a big motor there with the, all the facility with the tank and the pipe and all. And now they're just getting it there. What a wonderful way to share the living water, Jesus, by providing them the natural water. Amen. So just such a blessing to see that. The next picture you can see, this is one of our precious child. You know, a number of you are helping with, you know, sponsoring the children. And I do have some more that I brought with me. If you are interested, I'll be out there. Please, if the Lord allows you, take them with you. You know, this one child out of our school, she didn't come in the month of March to write annual exam. And her name is Abirami. And we were wondering what is going on. What has happened was her father found out that he has a cancer. Then the mother, when that whole thing came into place, devastated over the whole thing and ended up pouring kerosene on herself, you know, like gasoline, and set it on fire. And completely, she was vanished. She didn't able to live and she was gone. Then month later, the father with the cancer, he also passed away. So now it is father's brother who brought the child and told that we cannot able to do anything with this child. Would you kindly take this and, you know, and help this person? So without blinking the eyes, I immediately committed myself, you know, through the grace of God to help this child through the high school or college, whatever needed to take care of that person. Amen. The pure religion, we can see it in James, is caring for the widows and orphans and the fatherless. Amen. And here we are. We have a smiling, happy child, you know, now coming to the school. And we have many children like this. We have 120 death certificates in my file from children that are studying in our school, do not have either father or mother, and we are caring for them every single day. Amen. The next picture you can see. These are actually a couple of years ago when I was here, I was able to share about some persecution that happened in India. You know, more than 4,000 homes were burned completely. And several pastors and believers, they've been, you know, beaten and killed and thrown into the river, you know, very, very brutally, actually. And this is a brother who is in North India. He's running a home called House of Hope. And these are the children of parents who have died and passed away. The father, mother, and, you know, the pastors and things like that. 235 children that are going, you know, growing in a very nice environment, but they do not have parents and they're under great care. Amen. Pray the Lord will continuously comfort them and raise them to be a great woman and man of God in the years to come. The next picture. You can see the open door. I was talking about, you know, different schools and colleges. You can flip through a couple more pictures here. This is actually one of the college that has 1,000 students. They are going to become a teachers. They are studying bachelor in education, B.Ed., and qualifies them to be a official certified teachers in schools. 1,000 students. What an influence that as we are sharing the gospel that they can take to all the schools that they're going to be working, you know, in their life. And we had an opportunity there. The following picture, you can see them just enjoying some of the drama that we did and then giving the gospel message following after that. And next couple of pictures, these are some students also. There were about 2,000 students here in this another school. That we God has opened some awesome door for us there. And the following pictures. Yeah, these are some drama that we do there. And I'm really praying. And I even mentioned to Brother Josh and Pastor Matt that we love to have a team come from, you know, Edgewater, God willing, next year. And do some ministry and drama and outreach and so forth. So here we can see that. In the next following pictures, some of the other schools. that we are able to go and share the gospel with. Following the picture, this is our school in Rameshwaram. The children that we have, total of 700 children are there. And there you can see them in our auditorium. In the following picture, you can see the children that are wearing various different clothes to dreaming like they want to be a doctors, engineers, lawyers, judges, you know, pilot and all these different things. There you can see the chief officer of the Coast Guard, you know, the naval officer. He's in charge of the ship and the helicopters and all that stuff. And his son is studying in our school. The next picture you can see children out of the Prince of Peace that we bring them from various different backgrounds, and they're having a better hope here in the school. The following picture, you can see the little children that we have brought from two different districts in Tamil Nadu. They killed the girl babies because of the dowry system, throwing them into a pot of water or something, and many different ways. And we were able to rescue 25 children. And they are growing in our place in a very, very awesome way. The child right there on my left side, standing, her name is Maria. And she was a week old when I picked her up near the railway track. She was laying there 10 in the night, naked, laying in a piece of cloth. Somebody just left it near the track and gone. So I carried her, the baby, back, and we raised her. Now she has grown up this tall, and so sweet to see, you know, how God can able to touch these people's life. The next picture you can see, Vacation Bible School. You know, this is the same place, Rameshwaram, where when we arrived there 38 years ago, few months before our arrival, the first missionary sent by God, while he was preaching, the radicals took him inside the temple and sacrificed him, cut his head off, and the blood was dried on the altar when we arrived. And today, by the grace of God, from that same island, 1,600 children, they have come for the VBS. It's a lot of work. You know, we have to provide all the meals for them, transport them with the 10 buses back and forth. But it is amazing to see such a great result over the years now God is giving among the children. Amen? Amen. Keep us continuously in your prayer as we are launching out missionaries and supporting and, you know, buying motorbikes and so forth to enabling these people to achieve great things for the kingdom of God. Amen? Please turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Few minutes we will see this, and Acts chapter 16, we can see an account of, you know, Paul and Silas. Verse 16, you can see, now it happened as we went to prayer. Amen? Paul and Silas, they were actually out there to pray, you know, seek the Lord for them, for the churches, for the ministry, for the things that is going on. But as they were going on the way to prayer, there was a slave girl who was actually, you know, constantly talking to these people, and she was demon possessed. And God Almighty used, you know, Paul to cast the demon out of this slave girl. Amen? She was not only slave to the master earthly, but also spiritually, she was a slave to the demon spirits. That's why she was able to do all of the performance. But God used Paul because of her annoying and cast the demon out of that slave girl and set her free. Amen? Which is a good thing. But it cost the master something who was running the show of, you know, getting some profit out of this girl. And now he's not going to get that anymore. So he got so mad and upset. And words we can see with the 22. In result of that, they are doing something against Paul and Silas. Verse 22. Now the multitude rose up together against them. Amen? I mean, here you have two people with the whole multitude coming against. And they don't have any guns or anything like that or to protect themselves or, you know, they're just stuck in the middle of the situation here. And here we can see, and the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with the rods. For what? For setting this girl free. Amen? They're giving the punishment to Paul and Silas with the rods, beating and tearing their clothes and all of these things. This is not something uncommon in other places. These are common things. I remember just recently, I just got a letter last week from one of our missionary. That's something God is doing lately in a very powerful way. By the grace of God, in the last 3 years, we were able to see 102 churches they were planted. Amen? Isn't that good? And we are believing God, if the Lord does things the way it is, we are seeing, in the next 10 years, we could probably see about 1,000 churches. You know, because such a way, God is moving in a very great way, a very powerful way. And among that, one pastor, one missionary, his name is Kailas. And he's the one sent me this report. I was just reading that yesterday. Just amazing. God called him to go and do the ministry in Bihar. This state of Bihar is one of the most unreached dark state. They have 50 million people. And the nickname of the state is Graveyard of Missionaries. Not a very nice nickname. Amen? Alaska has a nickname, Forget Me Not, you know, the flower. You know, there are nicknames that are kind of a memorable. But this Bihar, with the Graveyard of Missionaries, a lot of people who have gone there, they never came back. With the 50 million people, today, less than 1% is Christians. Can you imagine that? But in the midst of that, this Pastor Kailas, he decided to go and do the ministry for the kingdom of God. Amen? That's the power of a missionary that we support and we help. They don't need visa. They don't need passport. They're not going to be kicked out of the country. All they need is just some bike, rice and curry, and get the job done. Amen? It works. Amen? And here he is, when he was pioneering and doing the ministry in this region, just like what we see here with the Paul and Silas, he'd been beaten many times, torn up, they have torn his shirt, he came home without no shirt. He'd been seeing hardship, you know, on and on and on, so many times. And finally he started praying, God, help me here. I wanted to see some fruits. Amen? And recently what happened? There was a family. They have a boy, grown-up boy, and he got demon-possessed, and he started running into this street with his head banging to the buildings and the rocks, and the blood started bleeding from his head all over his body. And he started pulling and tearing his clothes and running naked in the streets of this area. And people, they felt very sad and bad about this situation. They told the parents, the only hope that you may have is to take your son to this place and pray with this missionary. And if he prays, things may change. Wow! Because at hospitals and clinics, they don't serve any medicines for demon-possessed. Amen? They have tablet for other things, but not for the demon-possessed. The only hospital they can get their healing and their deliverance is a church. It's a prayer. Amen? So they did listen, and they brought that son to the church, bleeding naked. And they start praying over this guy. You know, they put a blanket around him, then they start praying over this boy. And God just began to move. By the evening, completely he was healed. Delivered, the demon left. Hallelujah! Amen! Thank you, Jesus. And this is good enough now. He got dresses on, no more bleeding. And now the family got saved and baptized. And now they're going around and sharing about their testimony. Many people have seen this boy running around everywhere with the way that he was before. And now they know who he is now and how this happened. Amen? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the church have growing. He said, Pastor, it's so awesome to see. Not only the church is full, people are hanging onto the window, you know, during the worship, because there is no place to sit inside the church. Amen. God is moving in a very powerful way. And that's what we are seeing here. You know, as they got beaten up, they are not only that, verse 23. And when they had laid many strips on them, they threw them in the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Amen. Here you can see these men of God. They are stuck completely, beaten, torn, and they are locked up with the chains and stuck. Sometime in our life, we face some challenges also. Not necessarily just like this, but in the area of, you know, challenges, problems, you know, issues, health problems, and financial or relational or family or some area, some challenges, they come, they try to, you know, to give us a brokenness and keep us locked in the way that we don't want it to be. But God Almighty is going to change all of that. Amen? He is a Savior. He can able to do great things in our life. And here we can see the answer is prayer. Amen? Nothing will change but prayer. Because you can see verse 25. But at midnight, in spite of all of this, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Amen? They had all the rights to talk to God and say, hey, God, listen, don't you see what is happening here? All of this for casting the demon out? Is this the reward we get? No. They did not say a word in negative. In our pain, in our hardship, in our agony, in our challenges, it's not the time to talk about negative things, but be positive. Amen? You can only be positive in those situations through the grace of God. And here we can see, in the midst of all of this, they were praying and praising to Jesus, to the Lord Almighty. And not only the prisoners are listening, God is listening also. And when he listened, he said, whoa, wait a minute. These people, they were fine a while ago, casting the demon, preaching the gospel, praying and everything. Now they got stuck, yet they keep on praying. I cannot let them stay that way. I got to do something about it. That's what God was thinking. Then he started moving mightily. And when he moves, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Amen? So far they've been sitting right behind a closed door, stuck. But as they prayed and sought the Lord and sing praises to him, God opened the door in a great way. When God opens, no man can shut. Amen? God wants to do that in your life as well. As you are continuously seeking and praying and continuously following his footsteps, he has a great open door that he has before your life. Things that happened in your life sometimes is so wearisome, burdensome, heartbreaking, and things that you wish it didn't happen that way. Yet God is going to change all of that, and he's going to give you an open door before you for his glory. Amen? So keep us continuously in your prayers as we are sending out the missionaries and children, and you know, we need your prayer, we need your support, and we pray the Lord will continuously bless you richly. And we are looking forward to having the team come to India next year, God willing, and to be a great part of the work there. And may the Lord richly bless you. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you.